Do you think it'd be a good move for Bill Belichick to go to UNC?
Absolutely not. I want to say this respectfully. I think that's beneath him. North Carolina is not in the SEC. It's not some big time, you know, football program. That's a basketball school. We appreciate when they do something good in football because it's not all the way. It's not all the time that happens. No disrespect to Jeff Saturday or anybody else. That's just how I feel. Number two, I think that Bill Belichick on a collegiate level, having to recruit, can't see it. Having to deal with alumni members, can't see it. Having to deal with all of those headaches that come with it. I mean, it was
ADs
difficult for him. Presidents, ADs, I can't see it. Hell no. I mean, this man had a hard time dealing with the media. Could you imagine having to deal with all of that too? No way. I don't believe it.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Celtics Wednesday. We talked to Terp earlier in the program. You can check that out on the Odyssey app, Would You Rather Wednesday. That's available as well. And we'll get into Bill Belichick and the opportunity for him to go to the University of North Carolina. That was Stephen A. Smith on First Take. I just saw WEEI tweet this out. I followed the link.
All right.
Channel 11, ABC.
Channel 11?
In Charlotte.
Oh, I was going to say.
Headline, UNC Board of Trustees will meet Wednesday to approve the hire of football coach Bill Belichick, according to sources.
How about that?
Now, you got to dig for it.
Right.
Way down at the bottom. I was looking for who. There was no byline at the top of this. You gotta
AI?
You got to dig way down to the bottom of it.
Was that a robot?
ABC 11's Sean Coffey.
Get him, Sean.
Michael Perchick.
All right.
And Kate Rogerson.
Three of them working on this?
Not Ollie Connolly.
Not Ollie Connolly,
not
who's been
Ollie
on
Ollie Connolly. They also credit Pete Thamel, Chris Lowe. In the story as well.
It's too much.
So I see five names plus the Associated Press on this byline. But, hey.
So they're going to finalize it tonight.
WTVD in North Carolina. Bill Belichick is expected to be named the next head coach at the University of North Carolina. Sources tell ABC 11 that the UNC Board of Trustees will meet Wednesday to approve Belichick's contract. Any official announcement requires the Board of Trustees approval. So they're all being called in to meet because they have to go through the formality of approving it, but it's going to get approved.
I don't think we can overstate how wild this is.
Crazy.
Like, there's just like Bill Belichick going to college is wild. Either back in the NFL, staying retired, working for, you know, all these different TV jobs pre and post game, like a lot of coaches do after they retire. But going to college now, wild. Like, if NFL teams are afraid he's too old, yet a college team is like, no, we'll take him. And it's nuts to me. And I get what Bill was saying when he was on with McAfee, and you know, he talked about his like 400-page manifesto and all the stuff that he has. That sort of got reported after the fact. But Bill, I could see why a longtime college coach like Nick Saban might want to get out of college because the way it's changing.
Sure.
But I also get why maybe pro coaches are like, oh, this is kind of more like pros. This is more like pros, except we don't have to worry about, you know, having a player sign his second crazy contract, or like, you know what I mean? Like, they don't have to worry about, like, you had a guy for 2, 3, 4 years max, and then you kind of move on to the next one. But still, never in a million years would I would have thought Bill goes to college.
Me either.
Back to school to prove to dad that I'm not a fool.
So
it's wild. And of all, like, Stephen Smith was saying, I agree, we've said a lot of that this
week.
It's
beneath him.
North Carolina?
It's beneath him. And it tells you that the NFL doesn't want him. We've been saying this since last week. If he's even flirting with UNC, the whole idea was he was going to take seven media gigs so that he would stay on owner's radar and he'd be out there and it would get him a job. That was the whole idea of him doing all the media gigs that you knew deep down he didn't want to do.
He didn't need to go on the Manning cast to get the North Carolina job.
The whole idea was stay on the radar of NFL owners. And then he's flirting with UNC. I'm like, what the hell? What was the point of the media gigs?
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't want him. So, look, I don't know the reporting chops on ABC 11 in Chapel Hill. I don't know the reporting chops on Sean Coffey, Michael Perchick, Kate Rogerson.
Yikes.
Rogerson. But they're reporting again. Let me read it again. This is out of North Carolina. Retweeted by WEEI, the only reason I even saw it. Bill Belichick is expected to be named the head coach at the University of North Carolina. The Board of Trustees are meeting. They're meeting as a formality to approve Bill Belichick's contract, and then an official announcement will be made after the Board of Trustees approve it. That's what they're reporting.
Because that's what it feels like to me. It's probably why the holdup, right? We get the last week, you find out that he's interviewing for it, and you're like, all right, how serious is this? And then he confirms it. You're hearing about this manifesto.
We heard his pitch.
The pitch, like a full-on pitch, which made me, that was the first
exactly
time I thought.
Me too.
He wants it.
I didn't believe any of it. And
no.
I really still didn't until
I know.
Now-ish. I don't even know if I fully believe ABC 11. Like, until it happens, I don't think I'm going to fully believe it. But when he made his pitch on McAfee, that's the first time I was like, oh, he wants it. Do they want him? I was convinced right. He wanted it. I wasn't sure they wanted
and
him. But it sounds like they might.
As a basketball school, are they willing to pay through the nose for a football head coach in addition to a football staff that's going to be all his guys, all his NFL guys that are not going to, you know, go there for free, right? They're no longer coaching other teams, so they're going to get paid somebody else like they did in New England for many years. I think there's probably still a little bit of a hurdle. We don't know if it's been confirmed or not, the whole idea about Steve being the coach in waiting and if that's a real thing or not. But yeah, there's a lot that they got to kind of sift through, but it is just staggering to see him go to college. And you wonder, you know, two guys that he coached with have had varying degrees of success. Nick Saban left his staff from Cleveland, became one of the greatest college football coaches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Weiss, not so
good.
Much. Not so much. Bill O'Brien,
O'Brien's
pretty good.
O'Brien's been pretty good in college.
Yeah, I would say pretty good.
What about Schiano? How much credit is Schiano? That was like Bill had a relationship with him.
Yeah, like Bert Bielema and
then
like Schiano.
Yeah.
Ferentz.
Kirk Ferentz, I'd say he deserves more credit for Kirk Ferentz. Ferentz was on his Cleveland Browns staff. Yeah,
scoring a lot of points, but a nice little defense.
So look, I mean, I just
he's got a lot of ties, obviously.
But that
college,
was also
I never thought he would actually go coach.
That wasn't NIL Wild West college football. So no, I agree with Stephen A. It's beneath him. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Bill Belichick.
So hang on,
coach of North Carolina.
So it's beneath him.
Yeah.
Does it impact his legacy in any way, shape, or form?
If he sucks,
only if he sucks.
Yeah, I think if he goes and coaches and does well.
Just making the decision to go there doesn't impact it in any way, shape, or form?
Now, I know it's a little bit different, but didn't Bill Walsh go and coach Stanford?
Yep.
But he had already done that.
Sure.
But then so he's one of the greatest NFL coaches of all time and then didn't end there, and then he went and coached college. Joe Gibbs. So now, this is just pro, but some would say Joe Gibbs, one of the more impressive NFL runs because he won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks. But then he came back years later and was pretty bad and was pretty out of touch.
Let me give you another one. This is all at the college level.
Okay.
But Jim Calhoun was still latching on at like some small college in Connecticut.
D3.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he went and coached a D3 team, but he got them to like the tournament, didn't he?
Did he? I don't know.
I think he did all right there.
He was the coach at St. Joseph in Connecticut for 3 years. I think he's been dealing with some health issues since then.
Yeah.
But he went from UConn to out of coaching for like 5 years to like, all right, I'm just going to coach at some small school in Connecticut, but that's all in college. That's
Rick Pitino.
That's a good one. He's at where was he? Iona. Now he's back, kind of in big time basketball.
Yeah, he is.
But he was at Iona. Where is he? Where is he now? Is he St. John's now?
I want to say he is at St. John's.
Is that right?
He is at St. John's.
Yeah, but he was at Iona. Like he was really.
But Louisville
and then slumming he went, it at
and
Iona.
Then he was like out of the coaching. He went like coached a Puerto Rican team. He coached a Greek team.
Yeah,
then he was at Iona St. John's. He had other stuff going on.
He had the 5 seconds of glory in the Italian restaurant. But yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good one. So, and Pitino is closer to this because he was in the NBA at one point.
I yeah.
Mean, you know, Knicks and then the cup of coffee with the Celtics. But
no, it's unlike a lot of things. Like these are all ones that are like kinda. You know, like there's no direct comparison because Bill has spent his entire adult life in the NFL, and now he's going to go coach college. And I think most of us will still look back on him and be like, what a great NFL coach, regardless of what happens, regardless if they go 500 at North Carolina, you know, playing a crappy bowl game or whatever, going to be like, what a great NFL coach. Not really sure why he did this, but he did. But if he goes on like a 3-year run, they make the college football playoff, you're like, Jesus, you know, took North Carolina to the college football playoff.
Yeah,
I think he gets a little more credit for
I'll
that.
I'll be fair. I think he can. I mean, again, his legacy is kind of what it is at this point.
It's kind of locked in.
But you can end it on more of an up. The post-Brady part of Belichick's legacy is part of his legacy.
Yeah.
It just is. Him sucking at the end in New England and largely being terrible without Brady, that's part of it. And this will be part of that. Now, if he has to stoop to college and even has success in college, we could debate how much that helps. But at least he finishes on a bit of an upswing.
Mm-hmm.
He's already stooping to UNC. I agree with Stephen A. It's beneath him. It's embarrassing. And now he does poorly there. So it's like, wow, you couldn't win in the NFL without Brady. And now you can't win in college without Brady?
All right, so let me give you this
like
one.
It would just continue the narrative of what's already going on, which that is part of Bill's legacy. Sucking without Brady is part of Bill's legacy.
All right, so how do you view Bill Walsh, just as an aside? Bill Walsh, the coach.
I'll be honest, I don't think of the Stanford time with him, but he went out on top and, you know, didn't, you know, he was able to never win without Montana, but he was able to switch pieces and win in the middle, yeah.
So he wins three Super Bowls, one of the great coaches.
They won without him with Seifert. You're right, twice.
They did.
Yeah.
But some would look at that like that's sort of what Belichick reportedly wanted, was to sort of set up a long dynastic run and sort of leave the team in a good hand.
That is a strike against, I think, Walsh. That they won two without. They won the next year. I don't give Seifert a ton of credit for that. That's like,
but
that's
he
like,
also never fell off.
That's like Barry Switzer winning.
Yeah.
Like, but winning again with Steve Young, with a whole different quarterback. I know Walsh brought that quarterback in.
Yeah.
But winning again with a whole different quarterback and largely a different team after, I think that hurts Walsh.
But he also
to a
never had a 4-13 season.
Not well.
I mean,
not
he did
late. He did early.
Yeah, first year. But I was saying, like, at the end, like, once he got in there, he got in there. But my point is, he had 2 years at Stanford, 77 and 78. And then he was with the Niners from 79 to 88. Then he went back to Stanford. And his first year, he went 10-3 at Stanford. But those weren't even his guys. His last 2 years at Stanford, he was 4-7 and 3-7-1. But like as a football fan, I don't even think of that. And no. I was obviously alive for those games. And you're like, oh, that's the Super Bowl winning coach again, from the Niners at Stanford. But like, whatever.
But as you just said, here's the difference. You know, he went out on top. How long was he out of football again?
He wasn't.
He went right to Stanford from the Niners?
Oh, no. 4 years, looks right. like. 88 so, and then 92. He
so,
jumped in.
Number one, a longer gap where maybe you're like, he's bored. Like
yeah,
Bill. Bill interviewed for a Falcons job, got turned down. His phone didn't ring, yeah. And then a year later, he goes to UNC. And again, Seifert had a connection to Stanford. Walsh had a connection to Stanford, and on top of that, he went out winning a Super Bowl. Bill failed at the NFL; nobody wanted him. Went to UNC. You know, I mean, his legacy is basically his legacy, but it would continue a downward trend if he goes to UNC and sucks post Brady. And that I'm sorry, is part of Bill's
and
legacy.
And the other part of it too is, and I don't know if he's thinking about this, but something that Andy Hart brings up a lot is keep an eye on what Andy Reid's doing. So like Bill Belichick, I always default and say best head coach. But like Andy Reid's still going. Andy Reid's on a team that's 12-1 or whatever, and they're the favorite again to win a Super Bowl. How many more wins does he add? How many more titles does he add?
Does he three-peat?
Right. Like some of these things that Bill didn't do. We always talk about the wins record with Bill. Well, the wins record could also come, you know, with Andy Reid. And then, you know, how does Bill do in college? Because I think, yeah, it's not going to crush him. He could get a few more points if you're like, oh, he does really well at that school. But if he doesn't, you're like, all right, that's
sort of
odd.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would say it like this. If he went somewhere else and got the Shula record, I would say that helps him a little bit. I don't think much. I think largely his legacy is cemented. But in the same way, if he goes to North Carolina and sucks, or even does okay, let's say he's Saban at North Carolina, they're competing for national titles and stuff, that would matter. That would impact somehow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think even having to stoop there is part of it. Because I saw Chris Curtis tweet this, I think, yesterday. It's like Brady is running up the score on Bill and Kraft since he left New England. Bill has to go crawling to the University of North Carolina.
You win a Super Bowl in your first year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, then yeah, it's hard to compete with that.
We thought it couldn't get worse than that.
Although Brady does stink at doing this.
That's true. Fair point.
Not on the field.
I was told he had his best game of the year.
All right, sure he did.
Rams and Bills, which really isn't saying much.
Yeah, no.
But I was told he had his best game of the year. I wasn't exactly
good
locked in on that game. It's kind of background noise. 617-779-7937. Does this impact Bill's legacy in any way? Is it beneath him? And again, just because I haven't read it for a minute, Channel 11, ABC Eyewitness News in North Carolina. I believe it's Chapel Hill. Sources tell ABC 11 that the UNC Board of Trustees is set to meet Wednesday to approve the contract for Bill Belichick to be the next head coach at the University of North Carolina. And it sounds like, from reading the story, it's a formality. They have to meet to approve it, go through that process, but they've already decided it's going to happen. So get ready to watch the Tar Heels on Saturdays. Our buddy Coach is up in New Hampshire. Hello, Coach.
Yeah, Coach.
Yeah, here's the reason. Get ready now. Stephen wants to be a head college coach. His resume isn't that bad. It's actually pretty acceptable. His communication skills are that of a 10-year-old. Bill has created a pathway. Why would UNC want this? Well, because they've been an average to below average program for so long. Bill's demands would never fly at Michigan or Ohio State. He's done this for his son, Steve. There's a second reason. You won't agree with it, but it's Jordan's favorite color, Columbia Blue. Thank you.
Okay. Jordan.
Oh, Jordan. I was like, yeah. Michael Jordan. The rich history of North Carolina.
Took me a second.
Yeah, the Jordan brand?
He was talking about Jordan.
Jordan. The Jordan brand.
Not Michael Jordan.
Got it. I was very confused by that.
That threw me for a loop.
The Steve angle, if that's true, okay. Sure. That's not a bad one.
Arcand and Hart were arguing about this yesterday, and it was a good debate. The idea that, well, Bill's just being a good dad by trying to set up his kid. Some people say that, right? Hart was saying that yesterday.
I think it makes him look worse.
I disagree with that so strongly.
I think it makes him look bad.
I was on Arcand's side in this one. I know Arcand took a bath on one of their show polls they did yesterday.
Yeah, he got smoked.
So I was with Hart on that, but on this, I was with Arcand. Like, it makes Bill look. Maybe it's a good dad move, but it's not good for anybody else.
Is there any way Steve really wants that?
Including the school, right? It's a good dad move, I guess. Does Steve even want it, number one?
I don't know.
And number two, is it good for the school or the players or anyone else involved? No, it's just a selfish thing that you're doing for your kid.
There's also a million schools. And honestly, people make the jokes about like nepotism or whatever. But okay, there's plenty of coaches' kids that have gone on to be really good coaches in their own right. Steve, based on his NFL experience alone, I bet could get a lower level D1 head coaching job. And even like...
Oh, I don't.
You don't think so? He's with the Patriots for how many years?
He wasn't even the D coordinator.
Okay, but I mean, he could pitch it. Like, that's because they didn't have titles then, but he kind of was. He was
kinda
the play caller on defense.
Yeah, but
he's the D coordinator now for Washington.
Right.
So I think he could get a head coaching job. I mean, look at where some of these guys come from.
Yeah. I mean,
all due respect to D3, but like the John Carroll became a head coach in the NFL.
Rewind it a year. Last year, coming off the Patriots season, he could have gotten a head coaching job in D1.
Yeah,
like, probably. Maybe after he's a D coordinator for a couple of years.
There's like 150 of these teams.
I know, but...
You don't think San Jose State would hire him?
No.
Oh, see, I do.
No.
He's been in the NFL.
He's the D coordinator in college. He wasn't even a D coordinator in the NFL, and it took Bill's buddy to hire him.
Dan Lanning was a DC at Georgia and got the Oregon job.
Yeah, he was a DC at Georgia and a good one.
No, but he also got one of the best jobs. I'm saying I'm not saying Power 5, but I'm saying outside of that, he has been on an NFL staff since 2012. I think he could.
I don't.
Some might even just take the name.
Okay, but again, where did he have to wind up? He didn't get a job on his merit. One of Bill's buddies had to hire him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's fine. But but it's Washington. Like, that's a good school too.
It is.
But I'm guessing he could have gotten some.
He needed
job.
The Bill Network to get a job. I don't think he's getting a job on his own merit. I mean, maybe after he's done it for a few years. But I don't think that's good for anyone. I don't think it's great for Steve to follow his dad. I don't think it's great for the school or the kids or any of it.
Joe Judge maybe got it makes an NFL job. You don't think Steve could get a college job?
No.
Well, I mean, we'll see. And maybe you're right. If this is what Bill the hoop he has to jump through.
Obviously, if Bill thought he could get a college job on his own, he wouldn't be hell-bent on making Steve the succession plan at North Carolina.
It is
strange. Take DeBoer leaving Washington people who have, and Fish to get hired. Yeah,
the
Steve
only people
job.
Who no, have appointed Steve with jobs so far are Dada and Dada's friends.
Yeah.
That's it.
There's a lot of Dada friends out there.
Oh.
All he needs is an AD to be one of his friends, and then he hires him.
He can tell us he has a lot of connections.
He does.
Charlie's in Boston. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, guys. Great show so far. Be safe out there at level 99.
Thank you.
Two thoughts. One, I'm picturing Bill and Steve with the stepbrother type interviews from the movie.
Bill's just behind him. He's like, he's actually great. Bill's
just behind Steve.
Tell him, Steve. Steve, tell
him. Don't look at the mullet. Don't look at the mullet. He's fine. But number two, is Bill being there, there's two sides to it. Is he good or bad for recruiting? Like, the kids want to play from, especially this generation. You know, it's just kind of a weird, like, so, I don't know if he's good or bad.
No, it's a good question, Charlie.
Great question. I think good.
I think good in terms of, do kids want to play for a guy who can get him to the NFL? Yes. But it's not just about that. It used to be about that. 3, 4, 5 years ago, it was about that. 10, 20 years ago, it was certainly about that. Now, and look, I mean, recruits have always been paid. But now it's officially about who you're going to pay. And I don't think Bill's going to pay the most. He never did that in the NFL. So why is he going to start doing that with 18-year-old kids? I don't think so. So I bet kids want to play for Bill, and they'll be interested in playing for Bill until they see the NIL money and they go, oh, wait, I can get more elsewhere. I'm going to go there. Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
Yeah, the money's going to speak to a lot of these guys, but I think most of them, too, are thinking, how do I get to the NFL? Out of all the coaches in college, how many either were in the NFL or have direct connections to the NFL or have like a good pipeline of players to go to the NFL? I think Bill, in the first couple of years, would get a lot of guys that would just like that, say they played for Coach Belichick and try to, you know, go to the NFL.
That's true. Matt is in Greenfield. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys, you hear me?
Yes, you sound great.
Hey, so two things. The NIL is not just money. They can get cars, they can get endorsements, they can get hooked up in that way. It's not just about getting paid.
Yeah, I mean, okay. At the end of the day, it is all about getting paid, but I understand. It's not necessarily the university setting aside the money. Yeah, right.
So the main reason I called, this will only help Bill's legacy, because if he sucks, they're just going to say, hey, he wasn't that good, but hey, NFL, great coach. And there's three guys that don't have jobs right now that were all coordinators for him in the past, all NFL experience. So anyone with younger brothers or kids going through college, they're going to call up Patricia, McDaniels, Joe Judge. He's going to bring back the old Patriots.
They're
all going to be there.
Those guys are all going to be at UNC.
Well, it's Steve and probably Brian.
Maybe
it's going to be the whole squad.
Do you think McDaniels?
He's the only one I'm not sure about.
I agree.
And he's probably the one he needs the most.
Right.
Because Bill can do the defense just fine, clearly. He doesn't need those other guys. Special teams and defense, that's Bill's wheelhouse.
Right. Patricia will be...
Don't you need McDaniels to help the 18-year-old quarterback?
What do they call him now? Yes. What do they call him now? Do they call him GMs?
General managers, I think.
That's like what Woj is doing at St. Bonaventure.
Ernie?
Maybe. You suggested Patricia the other day. I think that's a good one. Patricia was legitimately signing contracts in Foxborough.
Yeah, I bet he does that. I mean, he's for sure there.
And you made the point, too. He's not going to be calling the defense because that's Steve.
They need Steve to do that.
Steve at least needs to do that if he's going to be the head coach in waiting. He at least needs to call the defense.
No, he probably needs McDaniels the most, and that's the one where I'm not sure about. Couldn't McDaniels just take a job? If he wanted to be a head coach in college, he for sure could.
Probably, yeah. It depends on what McDaniels wants. But, I think he's certainly going to get the band back together. What was his middle point? He had a middle point I wanted to address in there. Oh, about it won't hurt. It can only help his legacy, not hurt. Please. You can say it won't impact it either way.
Yeah.
You can't play the game where it only helps and doesn't hurt. It either has an impact or it doesn't, good or bad.
I think on the swing of it, though, there's more of like a little bit of you'll remember it if it was good and give him credit for it than if it's Patriots fans, for sure. Yeah.
But like if he goes there and sucks, a lot of us are going to remember that he went there and sucked. That's all.
If you say it's indifferent and it doesn't matter, fine. Then you're consistent. Don't tell me it can only help.
617-779-7937. More of your feedback coming up. WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock with Arcan and Hart. What do they have? Oh, they got Schefter and Scal. Schefter will be good on some of this Bill stuff. Scal on the Celtics as well. That comes your way at 2 o'clock. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
When it's around 1:30 and the takes continue to stay hot, the Jones and Keefe Grab Bag's a really cool spot. There's no other place to hear the Grab Bag. The Jones and Keefe Grab Bag. The Jones and Keefe Grab Bag. The Jones and Keefe Grab Bag. You're happy now, Jones.
It's time for Grab Bag. It's time.
Time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. Let's update you on a couple of things quickly here, Jones, as it relates to the baseball talk that we've had today. Red Sox haven't gotten anybody yet.
Aroldis Chapman
a week ago.
Yeah.
Sorry, I misspoke. They didn't get anybody good. They're flying off the board. Juan Soto, Max Fried, etc. Corbin Burns, doesn't sound like they want to go down that road. We do have an updated number on what the Red Sox offered.
Oh.
For Max Fried, who set a record for lefty pitchers.
Well, as you quote tweeted Jeff Passan yesterday, they must have been close.
Oh, so close.
So close.
So Joel Sherman says the Red Sox were at 7 years, $190 million, with a willingness to go up, but with deferrals.
There it is.
Yeah.
So
give you that money, not all right now.
So fewer years, less money.
Less years, less money.
And you also might have to wait for it.
Yeah. You like that Bobby Bonilla deal?
That didn't get him Max Fried. I'm shocked.
Huh. So is that a John Henry issue or a Craig Breslow issue?
I mean, to me, that is Henry.
That one definitely.
Like I'm not. You can criticize Breslow for his return for Chris Sale, just like you can criticize the return and Chaim Bloom for the return for Mookie Betts, not extending for Seth Lugo. Those are Breslow level criticisms, and they're fair.
Yeah,
wanting to defer money to Max Fried, not going to an eighth year and not matching the money, that's ownership.
Now, another update, an update to the updates. Speaking of Craig Breslow, he apparently was supposed to be on the MLB Network's midday show.
Oh?
Canceled.
Oh!
Canceled. Now, you know what that could mean? Talking to Nick Pivetta. He could be on the horn right now with Nick Pivetta. He can't go on his show. He was scheduled to be on there.
Well, I guess what happened is yesterday. Nick was telling me this secondhand. I guess yesterday, Brian Cashman was scheduled to go on the same program and had to cancel last second, and they wound up signing Max Fried.
Okay.
And so maybe some of that's going on. Did you have the Carrabas tweet as well? Was this part of your news?
No, throw that in. Go ahead, please.
Okay, Carrabas, in the last 10 minutes or so, the streets is talking.
That's it.
That's it.
That was the tweet?
That's all.
That was the full tweet?
Yeah, let your mind
run out of characters?
Let your mind wander.
All right, so he's kind of teasing us a little bit.
Yeah, now, and
now,
I
would he do that for Nick Pivetta?
No.
I would hope
not. I will tell you, the last 24 hours of Carrabas' timeline is a lot of smoking, like, 16 cigarettes at one time.
He's smoking a lot of cigarettes at once. Yeah.
It's an individual who's down bad,
yeah,
pretty upset.
He got himself. So, he talked himself into Soto and Burns.
So the streets is talking. That doesn't mean they're getting anything done.
Carnage
but,
yeah, in the streets.
Let's see where that goes since Breslow canceled his media availability on the MLB Network.
All right.
Grab bag. Grab bag.
Joe Burrow becomes the latest NFL player to have his house broken into whilst playing on primetime.
Mm.
So Monday Night Football, Simpsons cast, Bengals and Cowboys. And at his home, there was a burglary attempt. Also at his home.
This is where I thought you were going.
Well, yeah. Also at his home was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model. Olivia Ponton, I believe.
I think that's right.
Is that how you say her name?
Yeah, she's the one who called 911, right?
Well, she called her mom.
Oh, I'm sorry. She's the one. There's a call of her calling up, not about the burglary, right?
So she was in the house when the burglary attempt happened, and then she called her mom, and then her mom called 911.
That's what it was. I'm sorry.
And it kind of went from there. She claimed to be employed by Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What's going on?
I don't know that we want to know.
So was Burrow's girlfriend at the game, and then his mistress was at the house?
Could be.
Although I don't know if he's still with his girlfriend. He's had a long on again, off again girlfriend, I believe. So not to get him in trouble for this.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm saying I don't know if she's the only lady in town.
I
don't know for sure.
Her
what do
excuse
I know?
For being there was I do work for Joe right. Burrow. I get what you're saying.
She's like, I update all his software.
The oldest job.
She's his IT guy. Yeah. I make sure everything is running at the current update.
Yeah.
Make sure his phone updates when it needs to.
I was unfamiliar with her work.
I don't know what she was doing there.
I was not overly familiar with her work.
Have you seen her now?
I've become familiar, yes.
Yeah. But she's good at what she does.
God, it sounds like she's doing nice work around the house.
I don't know what Burrow's paying for.
Yeah, I mean, not to paint her into a corner, but she's
God,
doing nice
no.
work at the residence, I should say.
So something was happening
Not
there.
Housework.
But if you were house-sitting,
uh-huh,
and a burglar attempt happened, would your first call be to your mom and then have her call 911? It seems like you're kind of an unnecessary extra step.
Not to paint with a broad brush,
yeah,
but
right.
I don't.
Okay.
You know, I don't know that her instincts
unless her
are
instincts,
her strong suit.
Or maybe they are. And she's thinking that I can't tell people that I'm here.
Right.
So if I make somebody else make the call.
Mm.
But did you hear the 911 call? She's like, she's at Joe Burrow's house.
Nice.
I was like, all right.
So, but is this all part of the same?
Yeah, this is legit,
like transnational
kind of a messed
gang
up thing.
Breaking into all these athletes' homes.
Yes,
it sounds like.
Like
it.
If you're a good player and you play on a primetime game, like you need to have like a guard outside your house.
Yeah,
I would get alligators. I would make a moat. I would train an eagle.
Smart.
I would have all kinds of stuff.
That's a good plan.
Guys with guns. Guys
yeah,
with
yeah.
swords.
Alligator or crocodile? Which one was more aggressive?
Crocodile.
Yeah, it's crocodile. You don't want to mess with crocodile.
So I'd have 2-3 crocodiles.
Alligators look more like dinosaurs.
Crocodiles in the moat.
Yep.
I'd obviously have a moat if
Smart.
I was rich and famous.
Yeah, drawbridge.
I would have two. Yeah, drawbridge.
Yeah, drawbridge, yeah.
Which would be up, obviously.
Yeah, well, yeah, you got to leave that in the
three
leave that in the up position, yeah.
I'd have 2-3 eagles, because you know how people can kind of get in from the air. I'd have eagle
yep.
trained eagles around the house. I'd have a guy with a sword in the house. I'd yep. have a guy with guns
yeah,
in the house.
You know what beats a bad guy with a sword?
Bad guy with a gun.
Well, good guy with a sword. But then also.
Oh, and then on top of that, greater than.
Yeah, there's a whole flow chart.
So I would have all those guys line up at my house, protecting my PS5.
Smart. That's
Nobody
real smart.
Would, they wouldn't steal one of them.
Yeah, good luck.
Gone.
Good luck, transnational gangs.
Like, hey, I'm on Thursday Night Football. Go ahead. Come to my house. Here's my address, in fact. Here's my address. Good luck. But something's up. They need to figure this stuff out. It's not good.
The world is a grab bag.
Blue Jays made a trade.
Oh,
they
good.
Got Andrés Giménez.
Hang on, you're allowed to do
second
that?
Baseman from Cleveland. I didn't think you were allowed.
I didn't
to do
think you were allowed to do that.
Yeah, Gold Glover from the Cleveland Guardians going to the Blue Jays. So making a deal.
Nice.
Look at that.
Good job. Teams in the division, no less, making moves.
Making
huh.
moves. Wow. Making moves. Feeling good about themselves.
Ma'am, what'd they do with Lieutenant
Grab Bag?
Forgot to tell you, we got more Forrest Gump grab bags. Last night, there's like a bunch of them.
That individual tweeted at you and I. Yeah. I don't have the name in front. Mark, maybe? Yeah. He tweeted at me and he said, in my defense, I didn't know you guys were going to play them all consecutively.
My given name is Benjamin Buford Blue. People call me Grab Bag.
It's too much. It's too much.
There's some deep cuts there.
There's too many of them, I would have to say. But listen, the guy's going out there doing the best he can.
Have you found
Grab Bag?
No.
I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him, so...
It's honestly too many. Well, it's too many, but we appreciate you sending them in. Keith at WEI.com.
It's like a 2.5-hour long movie. We got more than that.
The whole thing's chopped up with grab bags in them. So that's what we're dealing with now. The Buffalo Bills have added 10 owner partners to their group. So much like, you know, Tom Brady now owns the Raiders.
Yeah.
Including.
They brought in some limited partners.
Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady.
Nice.
T-Mac.
Yeah.
And Vinsanity. Half man, half amazing.
I didn't.
Now owns the club.
Has something gone on with athletes? I thought athletes used to lose all their money. Now they're all buying parts of NFL teams. Yeah,
now they're smart with their money. Yeah. And there's so much more of it.
Yeah, it must have been that. Yeah, well, there's that.
Those guys made a lot of money.
Yeah.
Not as much as the guys today.
How long were they together?
Not long enough.
Yeah, it was like a four-year run?
Although it was because of that you now have the Canadian boom. You would not have Shea Gilgeous-Alexander Andrew Wiggins and all these guys that played in Canada or from Canada if it wasn't for Vince Carter. And T-Mac, but they weren't together long, because then T-Mac went to Houston and played with Yao for a while. Wasn't that? Didn't he go from...
No, he went to Orlando.
Oh, then Orlando, then he went to Houston. Yeah. You're right. He was great.
Well.
T-Mac?
Very good.
Did I ever tell you a story?
You have him in the Hall of Fame. I'm sure he's in the Hall of Fame.
T-Mac? Oh,
right?
Hell yeah.
He's legitimately in the Hall of Fame, but they put everyone in there. He'd be in your giant hall. You claim to be a small hall guy, but you're not. Everybody's in there.
I told you my T-Mac story. When I was covering the Celtics for a couple years, and by covering the Celtics, I just went and got sound and watched the games.
Yeah, jammed a microphone in people's faces.
Yeah, that's
I like to say I covered teams, too,
I would always try to grab one player from the road team and do like a quick interview, like 5-6 questions, little interview, and then whatever. And so this was at the end of his career. It's with the Hawks. And so he's sitting there, and Tracy McGrady's there. I'm like, I got to go talk to T-Mac. So I go up to T-Mac. I'm like, hey, do you have time for a couple questions? He's like, nah, man. Like, I let the young guys do that now. I don't really do that now. And I was like, all right, just wanted to say, like, I was a big fan. Like, you're a great player to watch. He's like, oh, that's what's up. And he was like, he changed his tune. Like, so I don't know if he thought I was going to ask him serious questions.
So you do the interview?
No.
Oh.
But we just talked about how great he was.
Okay, good.
You appreciate that.
Good. Yeah. You should have 10 questions. Man to man to man.
I was like, let me ask you this. Would you rather be really hot or really cold? He's like, get the hell out of here.
What do you fold or do you crinkle toilet paper?
He's like, I'll never tell you that.
And Noble's
grab bag.
M. Biggins, the smallest man.
There was a video making the rounds yesterday, late in the show, maybe right after the show.
Go on.
Brett Favre and Mark Gastineau.
I saw this, yeah.
So Mark Gastineau, famously the father of the Gastineau Girls, which was a show on E! For like a season. He was part of the New York Sack Exchange, had a bunch of sacks. Michael Strahan broke his sack record, and they were at some, you know...
Looked like card signing an autograph type of thing.
Like one of those kind of expos, conventions.
Yeah.
And Favre goes over to like shake his hand, just be like, oh, hey, what's up? And Gastineau's like really upset, and he's like, you hurt me. Like basically, so Brett Favre, when Michael Strahan got the sack record, some of you may remember, it was the last game against the Packers. Michael Strahan was clear in on him, and Brett Favre just like took a dive, fell down, and Gastineau or Strahan tagged him, got the record-breaking sack. Gastineau's still upset about this. He was like, Brett Favre.
Have they never run into each other over all the years? That's what's shocking
not.
To me. It's like he's just been holding on it. He's like, if I ever see that Brett Favre.
I'm not entirely sure.
I'm going to give him a piece of my mind.
I'm not entirely sure the elevator goes all the way to the top on Gastineau based on this conversation. I also looked up.
Favre's like, we've met hundreds of times.
We had the same conversation, Mark. I told you I'm sorry, dude.
Every time he runs into him, he's like,
you hurt me.
Here's Gastineau again.
He's like, I wasn't trying to hurt you. And then so Brett Favre, I didn't even read it all. He did like a 12-tweet thread apologizing to
the
Gastineau.
The second I see the little thread emoji, I'm like, I'm out.
TLDR.
I'm not reading it.
I'm out.
I saw he put the thread emoji, and I'm like, I don't need a Brett Favre thread in my life.
So Mark Gastineau, mad that Brett Favre took a dive, right? Yep. That's like his whole thing. Can I read something to you?
Yeah.
Mark Gastineau, in 1991, began a career in boxing, which lasted 5 years. In his first fight, Gastineau knocked out Derek Dukes in the first round. Dukes, a professional wrestler, later admitted he took a dive.
Oh, no.
Yes. TV Magazine in 60 Minutes interviewed several others that fought Gastineau, and were told to take dives to make Gastineau look good. His whole boxing career was a sham. Guys took dives
for
him.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, no, seriously. Right, exactly.
That doesn't sound right.
But anyway, he's still holding a grudge.
A guy who's upset, holding a I know you're pro grudge holding.
I do like a grudge, but this one seems
you gotta have the moral high ground with your grudge holding.
Hypocrite City.
He does not.
Population Gastineau. Yeah, not, although in a matchup between those two, I'm like, I don't care. Double KO would be great. Yeah, I'm not a fan of either one.
Not real easy to. I didn't realize this Gastineau stuff, but I would have been on his side prior to this, yeah.
This just into the news desk. Oh. Looks like we got a new.
Nice.
I love playing two-hand touch, eating way too much, watching my team win with the grab bag.
Nice. Apparently, according to Nesson, it looks like the New York Mets are going to meet with Nick Pivetta. Oh, so maybe they don't get Nick Pivetta.
Oh, boy.
Maybe they're going to be out on that. That would be a sad day.
I will be entirely consistent on this. I hope somebody else.
Now what are we going to do?
Look, I'll take less than Nick Pivetta. If that's all you're getting anyway, I don't want him.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's...
Grab bag?
Nick passed this along. Apparently, an Ohio State rep wants to make flag planting a felony after the latest Ohio State-Michigan
brawl. Throw him in prison!
Does not want flag planting.
Well, you heard.
I like flag planting.
Once we informed Dietrich Wise of what happened, he was pretty outraged. He's like,
he's like, whoa. You want to do the fighting? Do the fighting on the field.
I think he almost said throw him in prison. I think he was right there.
Cussed.
Felony.
For sure.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's random.
Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right, folks, we're going with a starting pitcher today who had a 16-year career. He played for the Cubs, the Mets, the Orioles, the Devil Rays, and the Blue Jays. Most of his games were spent between the Cubs and the Mets. Those other three teams, not as much. He was a one-time All-Star.
What year?
Right-handed starter. He was an All-Star in the 96 season, broke into the majors in 1993, retired after the 2008 season. So a long career.
96 All-Star with who?
With the Cubbies. With the Cubbies. 143 career wins, 4.39 career ERA. Over 1,500 strikeouts, over 2,500 career innings. He was a hoss in the 90s. He'd get you 200 innings. No, he'd roll out of bed, get you 200 innings.
I feel like I'm retaining very little of this for some reason today. He's righty.
He's a right-handed
Cubs,
pitcher.
Cubs and who prominently?
Cubs and Mets.
Cubs and Mets, thank you.
O's,
and an All-Star, an All-Star in 96.
96 All-Star, where he went 13-9 with a 303 earned run average. That's probably his best year. Oh, yeah, for sure his best year.
Nothing.
Coming up, nothing, huh?
An All-Star.
Right-hander.
96 All-Star.
Yep, 96 All-Star. Cubs. I remember
for
the Cubs.
Nick Pivetta.
It's not Nick Pivetta. I think the Twitch chat has it.
Do they? Yeah. Oh, you know what? I think I did see. It's not one of the names in there. Steve Traxel.
He got it.
Steve Tampa. There you go.
Steve Traxel.
Steve Traxel pops into my head because I can't remember if he gave up 61 or 70 to Maguire.
Makes sense because he pitched for the Cubs, so he had Sosa on his team, and then going up against Maguire. I think it might have been.
Might have piped one.
61.
I guess in that, well, maybe he wouldn't. I think Maguire was getting grooved a few pitches there, but I don't think the Cubs would
not
do
by
that.
Traxel.
Yeah, no, it's
no,
a good
gotta
point.
Go chasing him.
It's a good point. I take it back. I strike
him
on the right.
Plunking him.
How dare I compare Steve Traxel to a Mark Gastineau or a Brett Favre type.
There you go.
He gave up 61.
Boom.
Oh,
good
wow.
Memory.
Good call.
Memory,
we couldn't come up with him on our own, but good. Once the name was out there. Good
62.
Job.
Oh, the record breaker.
Okay. Wow. All right. How about that?
Roger Maris's kid's like, not my record holder.
I'm a little insulted that Keith didn't do the NBA player of the day with the NBA Cup going on. That feels like a personal protest.
We were pressed
by Keith.
For time.
That feels like a personal protest.
No, we were
by
pressed
Keith.
For time.
Throwing it right in my face.
Couldn't do it.
That is the grab bag each and every day here on Jones and Keith. Let's check in with WEEI Afternoons, our Camden Heart, see what they have coming up, and the clip du jour next. Oh, we told you the streets is talking
about
the Red Sox.
Yes, Jones.
Julian McWilliams, Boston Globe, source. Red Sox on the verge of trading for Garrett Crochet.
Look out!
The deal includes top prospect Kyle Teal.
All right.
And none of the other big-name prospects.
Holy mackerel.
So it was Marcelo Meyer's name that was out there earlier in the week, maybe even late last week. Red Sox hang on to Meyer. They hang on to Roman Anthony. They hang on to Christian Campbell. They have landed Garrett Crochet from the White Sox, according to Julian McWilliams, of the Boston Globe. I would give that a standing ovation.
That's excellent. No, that's excellent. That's a real guy. That is a guy who's better than anybody else that you have. Now, the questions with Grosche, you remember last year at the trade deadline, it was, I'm only going to go somewhere if I get a new contract, and I won't pitch out of the bullpen. I won't even pitch for you unless I get a contract. So there was a lot of stuff going on last year because he was one of the big names that was out there. The White Sox were obviously terrible. He had a really good year. 146 innings pitched, but 209 strikeouts and a 3.58 ERA. He is only 25 years old. So that is a massive... Now, I'm just curious. He's arbitration eligible until 2027.
Yeah, they should pay him right now.
They should absolutely pay him right now.
If you're worried about paying pitchers $200, $250, $300 million, they should pay him right now. Jeff Passan, this is when reporters get territorial.
Oh, boy.
Breaking. Yeah, Red Sox are finalizing a trade to acquire left-hander Garrett Crochet from the White Sox. Sources tell ESPN he doesn't have any prospects involved, but he says the deal is in the medical phase. Not official.
Oh, boy.
But trending towards it.
Does he say that Julian McNichols had it first or McWilliams?
He does not. No. Julian McWilliams.
McNichols?
Is he a player?
Yeah, Jeremy McNichols.
Jeremy McNichols.
Yeah, he scored some touchdowns. Christy
McNichols from Empty Nest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good one. I can't know everybody.
Is it really credit if you don't credit the right name?
Julian, I got around to it.
McWilliams, that's a good point, Hart. Julian McWilliams did not say it's done either.
Oh, boy.
He said on
this
The Verge.
This thing better get done.
No. Look. I'm still pissed they're not signing free agents, and it's annoying, but
this is good.
If you got the breaking news thing, it kind of has to happen now.
Yeah. That's true. It's locked
it has
in.
To go through.
If you're gonna
it's radio science.
If you're not going to get uncomfortable spending, you better get uncomfortable with the prospects. We said this earlier in the show. Crochet might have been the gem of the trade market, and they landed him. So I'm sure WEEI Afternoons. More on this breaking news. Great news for the Red Sox. The crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. You can give the perfect gift this year. 99 Restaurant gift cards are the perfect gift for everyone on your list. For every $25, you receive a $5 bonus card for yourself. It's the 99 Restaurant. Wonderful, wonderful place. And wonderful that the Red Sox have made this move. Now, I know you guys have Schefter and Scal. I imagine you rip out the front page and this is what you're talking today, yeah?
Yeah, we were going to rip them for not doing anything, but now we have to change that at least.
Changes everything.
Morosi just confirmed. Crochet has been dealt to the Red Sox.
Okay.
So there it is.
It sounds like Kyle Teal and more is what it sounds like. So stay tuned.
Sounds good to me. Good deal.
All your reactions, 617-779-7937. The guys will react to it here. We'll react to it tomorrow. And we'll scream at each other here for our show outing as we try to solve escape rooms,
puzzles,
mind
teasers,
drink some beers, and then we'll be nice and liquored up to react to this tomorrow on Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.